grab the keys to a new Toyota.
Let's go!
And go apple picking. Go to a football game. Go ghost hunting. Or not. This fall, get a low lease on the sporty 2024 Corolla. Adventure-ready RAV4 Hybrid, rugged Tacoma, and even the new all-hybrid 2025 Camry.
Grab the keys, come on, let's go!
Toyota, let's go places. Offer available to TFS buyers with premium rated credit until 11/4/24.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? We are getting ready for Game 10. San Jose Sharks in Utah taking on Utah Hockey Club for the first time in the history of both franchises. So first ever matchup, always fun. To preview tonight's game, we are going to be joined now by Matthew McConnell, the play-by-play voice of Utah HC.
Matt, I've caught myself saying Arizona, and I've had to catch myself. But I'm kind of going for, as you know, I work in soccer too, HC Utah and Utah HC. Am I the only person saying that? I can't believe that I am actually original for once in my life. Is that catching on?
You know what? I like that, Ted. We typically go Utah Hockey Club. We don't say the hockey club or anything like that. And at some point they're going to come up with a nickname for the team, but it is a pretty cool setup here. And I know I'm maybe digressing a little bit, but the fans have really bought into it. I think the players have really bought into the city. I know I have, and it's just been a really cool experience over the first few months.
So let's compare this time this year with this time last year and just how much of maybe less distraction there is, because everything is settled at this point. Right now, you know, the team is in Utah, you're in an NHL facility. It's a totally different situation than where things were previously. I guess the better way of asking it is it just a little bit more calm compared to where things were?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, first off, great ownership and great stewards in Ryan and Ashley Smith. They're owners of the Utah Jazz. They've got an ownership interest in Real Salt Lake, and I know soccer is a big part of your background too, Ted. So they genuinely want the Utah Hockey Club to be an asset, to be a community asset. And, you know, it's interesting, Ryan, during the press conference in June, or actually in April, I should say, he said Utahns, they just show up, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Jazz, you know, they're kind of going through a rebuilding phase, and I want to say they're sitting on something like 265 consecutive sellouts. And now we've got Utah, the Utah Hockey Club, which I believe it was either 36 or 38,000 season ticket deposits were established when the team was first announced. So the atmosphere inside the building is great. I think the players, you know, they can concentrate on hockey. And granted, their jobs are not to worry about what's going on in the front office, right? Their jobs are not to worry about the ownership group. But I don't, you know, in the previous location, I don't think you could not think about that, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're a player and your main job is just to go out and perform to the best of your ability. So I know personally, I feel like I've had a renaissance in the broadcast booth this year. It's just been a lot of fun in terms of, just soaking it all in and seeing this roster, and a roster, by the way, that got a lot better in the off season through the commitment of ownership. So it's a really good setup, and they're struggling a little bit right now, but I think I don't think the valleys are going to be as deep as the valleys were before.
Take me to the 30,000 foot view on where the team was entering the season before we got to the actual gameplay, and we'll get into that in a second, but just what was the outlook? What was the level of expectation entering, about 2 weeks ago?
Well, you know, I think going into the season, Ted, we knew this team was going to score a lot of goals, and you know, honestly, that's what they did. They came out and they scored a lot of goals early on. And the three players that were really doing well for the group were Clayton Keller, Dylan Gunther, and Barrett Hayton. In fact, they scored 11 of the team's first 16 goals, and they got off to a great start. So we knew they would score goals. The big question was on the back end, and they knew that they had to get better as a defensive group. So they went out and they got Mikhail Sergachev, who is leading the team in ice time. He's playing at about 26 minutes per game, and he has been absolutely terrific. And one area that he really thrives at is killing penalties. I can't tell you how many clears he's had when this team has been shorthanded. Teams become a good face-off team. Seems like Sergachev always ends up with the puck, and he's getting the puck out of the zone, and he eats up minutes. But the other side of that is Sean Durzi in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago went out with a shoulder injury, and so he's going to be lost for 4 to 5 months. And John Marino, a player that played in New Jersey last year, who's a real good fit, I think, for this team, he has a lower body, or he's got an upper body, excuse me, and he hasn't been able to play at all, did not participate in training camp. So those are two huge pieces on the blue line, and you put those players in and you plug them in, it's going to be a pretty good blue line. So what's happened through all these injuries, it's given an opportunity to Maverick Lamoureux, who was a first round draft pick a few years ago when they had three first round picks. He's played a couple of games, played just under 19 minutes the first, just under 21 the second, and he looks pretty good. So, long-winded answer to your question. Offensively, they knew they were going to be pretty good. Defensively, they had to change a lot.
One of the things that struck me last year watching the team was how much better than the record indicated. I watched, those games against the Sharks and, other ones that were available to me on ESPN Plus or wherever else, TNT. And, I thought to myself, wow, that's a team that can take a big jump. But I was interested to see the hesitation from Bill Armstrong, who said they're not there yet and he wants to be in the mix down the stretch. I mean, because I do look at this roster and I think how things, could set up towards, the season as it goes longer. Like there's, and I guess, he wants to temper expectations, but I mean, this team has a lot of potential, I feel.
Yeah, I think the goal remains the same, even though they've fortified the lineup. That, and the goal is to play meaningful games down the stretch. And could they sneak in? Absolutely. I think it all depends on their health, and I think it all depends on what happens on the back end. You've got two long-term injuries in Durzi and Marino. So do you try to get through this with backfilling with internal options? Or do you go out and make a deal? And I think that's what they've got to decide, and I'm sure they will here in the very near future. I think a lot of I think part of what Bill is saying is he just wants to continue on with the process, right? He's not a I don't think he's never been a guy that's does a lot of things on the first day of free agency because free agency is so inflationary and the prices are so high. And I don't think he's a guy that likes to lock up a lot of people to long-term deals via free agency. So he's done it with his players, and he's kept to the process, right? So, if a rebuild takes 5 or 6 years, they're in about year four of a rebuild and getting to that point where they can, consistently contend for a spot in the postseason. So I admire him for sticking to it. I admire him for not, not being enticed, if you will, to try to short circuit it and win now, because I do think they're building it right, and it, and there just aren't any shortcuts. And I think the Sharks are going through that right now. They've got an unbelievable pipeline in San Jose, but I like the fact that the Sharks have brought in some veterans to kind of lead the way and show the youngsters what to do, and I think that's what you have to do in a rebuild.
What did you think of the return of Nick Bjugstad on Saturday?
Well, it's huge. It's huge because he's a really good defensive centerman, and he can be very, very good in front of the net. And he's a guy that you can trot out on the PK as well. He played the other night with Matias Michelli and Lawson Kraus, and that was a line, Ted, that was together in Arizona for a couple of seasons, and they did very, very well. They're making a tweak to that line, though. They're gonna move Matias Michelli off of it tonight, so it's gonna be the veteran Alexander Kerfoot with Bjugstad and Kraus. He's just terrific. He's had some really good success against the Sharks. He's got 9 career goals, which is second most that he's had against any other NHL team. And it's slotting as well. He's the perfect. He right now he's the perfect third line center. He can play up and down in your lineup, and he's got a little bit of an offensive touch as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he does and how play. He's never played with Kerfoot, and he's going to play with him the first time tonight. But he and Lawson Kraus obviously fit very well together. So that'll be a line to watch tonight.
Team started off playing some good hockey, but has lost their last three. What have you seen as of late? What has been the specific change? Or is it too early to say that you have seen a specific change? This is just the ups and downs of October hockey.
It could be the ups and downs. I think on the back end they're starting to figure it out. And in terms of shots, they have really cut down on their shots against. In fact, they're allowing about 27 shots per game, which is third or fourth best in the NHL, and that's something that we haven't been able to say for a very, very long time. But I think when this team is effective, they got to go to the front of the net. They got to play inside the dots. And you look at a guy like Barrett Hayton, he's probably by far and away the best player to do that. He'll go to the front of the net. But it's like anybody's going to tell you, to score in this league, you got to score from in tight and you got to try to get your offense through the middle of the ice. And so when they can do that, they've been very, very effective. But at the same time, they've gotten away from that a little bit over the last few games. And, again, it's not rocket science. You get to the front of the net, chances are you're going to score some goals. And Barrett Hayton, he's had 7 rebound chances this season, and that leads everybody in the NHL. So keep an eye on 27 tonight in black for Utah.
Has there been any expression of not overlooking San Jose in this game?
If you talk to Andre Tourney, he's all about one game at a time. And I think, San Jose, if you look at the Sharks, they've been competitive and, they seem to be competitive in more games than not as of late. If you throw out the game in Vegas on Saturday night, and Vegas is Vegas, so they're one of the best teams and they could go all the way. But yeah, I think I there's no if you don't work and you don't give the effort there, then you're gonna lose, right? And so there's the old cliche is there's no easy night in the National Hockey League. This could be a tough game. And I mean, I look at the Sharks power play numbers and they're pretty decent. So who's to say, Utah early on was a team that took a lot of penalties, and if that happens tonight, they could be in trouble. So it'll be interesting to see how this one unfolds.
Mr. McConnell, I know you have stuff to do, so I will let you go, but I appreciate your time as always. Have a great broadcast tonight, all right?
Yeah, what's this Mr. McConnell stuff? Come on, Ted.
Well, but I feel like there's always, we should give you your full due. It makes it sound proper for a second because it's not always beers and high fives, right?
No, it isn't. But and by the way, before we leave, I just wanted to congratulate my good friend Dan Rusinowski. 2,500 games for the voice of Shark Hockey. That is fantastic. And I've known Dan for over 30 years now, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Isn't it alarming how he doesn't age?
It really is. Like, I mean, his hair hasn't changed color. He's like the fountain of youth out there.
Is. He could have another 2,500 in him. I'm not betting against him.
Exactly.
All right, Matt, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thanks, Ted.
Again, that is Matthew McConnell, TV play-by-play announcer for Utah HC. And now we are going to bring in Sheng Peng. You won't be able to hear all of this interview right now, but you will hear more of it tomorrow morning on Morning Tide. Sheng, I guess, is a starting point. When we were all gathered at the start of the season, is this 0-7-2, 9 winless streak something that you thought was a possibility?
No, of course not. And I will still maintain, and the record doesn't reflect well, but I think that this team is better than last year's team. Granted, last year's team was awful. This team is not a great team by any means, but I think that it is noticeably better. I see it in a lot of the 5-on-5 and whatnot. the under the hood kind of stuff, that this team is better and it should have a couple wins at this point. I think that St. Louis would really hurt because you have that 4-1 lead, get that first win out of the way. You don't have to worry about it. No one asks you about it. And so anyway, I am surprised that it has gotten quite this far. And I think what happens too is that it spirals too. The team started off, I think, pretty well. They got points in two of the first three games. Things were looking up, and then that Winnipeg game happens, and there's sort of like a snowball effect. There's a small snowball effect of positivity if you're winning games like the, say, the expansion Golden Knights, and there is a snowball effect of negativity which plagued the team last year.
So we look at the offense since game number one, which was their best output, which included Macklin Celebrini. And I know that he's 18 years old, barely, and he's played one NHL game, Sheng, but it was hard for me not to notice in the preseason and in that first game against St. Louis just how much of a difference he makes on the ice. So I'll counter that with how much of a difference does his absence make?
Yeah, he is already one of the best players on the team, if not the best. There's an argument for that. But there's also, that's a double-edged sword, though. He shouldn't be the best player for a good team at this point. He's 18. So that's part of it. So you miss him. It speaks to a overall lack of top-end depth on the team. I know the team is rebuilding, so you don't expect it to have a lot of top-end players. But you miss a guy like that, sure, yeah, definitely you miss him 5-on-5. How his speed pushes back teams on the power play. Actually, that's subtly one of the things I noticed the most, that in the preseason, in that one game against St. Louis, how his speed pushed the penalty kill back on entries. And the Sharks have had a lot of trouble kind of gaining the zone and establishing zone time on the power play, in part because they lost the guy who is the, I think, planned to be the driver of that. After the first game.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that, the power play was better with him on it. The lines were more balanced when he was out there. Before we look at some of the other issues, I know that we're expecting an update on the fourth, and so the soonest he could come back is the fifth. There's no rush, right? Like I've talked to people who have said like, oh man, they need Macklin back, and I keep on countering with, it's not about this year. It's about the distant future. And I don't mean to say that in a pejorative or be inflammatory, but I mean, it isn't about today with Macklin. It's about seasons that are in front of us.
Yeah, and you can say the same about Will Smith too. When you talk about that development plan that they have for both Smith and Celebrini, that is sort of a sign of, okay, this year we're not necessarily going to make this huge push for the playoffs. Of course, if we do, if we start off 9-0, maybe plans change, who knows? But yeah, it's not. But on the other hand, though, you also can't keep him out for too long too. You had to get him back out there playing. He wants to be out there, and the team does need it. The team's spirits are not at the highest, obviously, right now. And so, if you're withholding a player that can legitimately help, then that is its own issue unto itself.
Which concerns you more with San Jose right now, the slow starts or the overabundance of penalties, which maybe has improved a little bit in the last couple of games, but I still feel is out there as a specter?
I think the slow starts because this team is not equipped, even with Celebrini, to be coming back from 3-0 deficits. They can't spot teams 3-0 leads. And that also just leads to bad habits. Once you're down and you're trying to chase the game, you try to push offense when you shouldn't, right? And so I think, though, that's probably the thing that the penalties are bad, but if your penalty kill is good, you can survive it. And that's workable. And sometimes too, when you're trying to play aggressive, like the Sharks are trying to do, they're trying to take an aggressive attitude and not worry about too many mistakes, right? Have fun, be aggressive, don't worry about too many mistakes. Then penalties are going to happen. Penalties are mistakes. That's going to happen. You just have to kill them, and so they don't kind of bite you in the butt there. But the
Yes.
slow starts, though, you can't come back from that. You can't. I mean, you can, but you don't want to give another team a three spot, a two spot. I mean, the Sharks haven't scored the first goal of the game since game three in Dallas. The last time they held the lead in a game was in that game in Dallas. So I think that's a little bit, both are bad problems, significant problems, but slow starts, though. The Sharks just aren't good enough to spot the opposition the first 20 minutes of the game.
Again, hear the rest of that interview tomorrow morning on Morning Tide as we continue our conversation with Sheng Peng. Remember to join us tonight at 5:30 pre 6 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network as the Sharks take on Utah Hockey Club for the first time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yang.